Okay, this is one problem better for me to be start off with. There's now been some curiosity of how to use a deceleration part and how to use them in conjunction with the various programs. And what I said was, which I stand by today, is I want you to take that program home and use it. One man diddled with it in his room, and he came up with some amazing things on his own. And you will too. So for me to do a long lecture on the precise use of deceleration pars is premature. You've got to get the prices right. And you're going to see some things in this program that will astound you. And from your reports and the questions that come in, there will be a manual with specific uses of it. And yes, it can be used with any program. It is primarily the same way we use pars, the same way that Tom Brohammer uses contemporary pars, is to see who belongs, who doesn't belong. It eliminates people once you learn how to do it. And that'll be forthcoming. Now, if somebody wants Jimmy to write a book, might as well. Everybody else is. I don't know if you can do this to anyone's satisfaction in an answer, but you talked about mentally creating projected face lines, mentally, without putting them in the computer. In other words, the eyeball scan. And if they want to know if this exists in writing anywhere, in any book that you've written, and if not, how about, Jimmy, you write this up in the follow-up in English?
U.S. cowboys have a hard enough time talking, much less writing. The matchup manual already says things, it does things that I mentally do. At the present time, Howard and I have been writing and working on a book. It's not going to be called a matchup, but it does have a lot of matchup in it. It's going to be Searching for Red October.
The search for a winning methodology.
Searching for a winning methodology. And it's the matchup. There's certain things that I do that I couldn't teach. And I couldn't tell you how to do it. It just, after doing thousands and thousands of races, I just do it. And I recognize it. And it changes from race to race. So, we're writing a book.
Yeah, he will write something for the follow-up if I tell him to. Won't you?
Yes, sir.
Good. This question I can answer, and Tom can answer because he's part of the answer. And Jimmy can answer because his initials are mislabeled in it. Is Phase 1 better than PBS? Yes! By 100,000%. Should I continue using PBS? No! If you're going to use a procedure that is of that nature, use Phase 1. You guys got any comment on PBS?
No comment.
I just never use it. In fact, I've always hated it because people always ask me to explain it.
The actual question was, do the TPRs supersede the PBS numbers? Well, the TPRs alone are part of the Phase 1 procedure. The Phase 1 numbers supersede PBS by a mile. Okay. I'm going to rephrase this for both of you. And this would be a good question because this is where these two men probably have their farthest right to left difference. What do you consider, Tom, the kind of race that you will automatically pass?
I can't think of a race I automatically pass. The closest thing to it is a maiden climbing race. But if there's a straight maiden drop down in those races, the percentages don't let me pass that. Other than that, I just pass those automatically. One of the things I do when I'm handicapping a race is that of horses that I can't account for that I think I can reasonably expect them not to run well, I just draw a line through them. Horses that I can't account for in terms of ability, I'll put an X on the left side of the racing form on a horse's past performances. If I have more than one in a race, I'll pass the race. And just why? Because it becomes a guess. That kind of a race I'll pass, but I don't automatically pass it until I've actually done that. So I can't think of a race that just automatically passed.
Like I say, I don't know when was the last time I passed a race. You know, I can put the internal fractions in a turn race that has only final times and give internal fractions or pace to the foreign horse from workouts of maidens. I just don't pass races. Now, I might if I got to go every day. But Howard, when I were out here 12 days, and I don't think I ever passed a race. I may not put as much money on a race where there's a lot of first-time starters, a main race with first-time starters, or a race that I do not know who's going to win the race. And what I mean there is that there are certain races I can get it down to three horses automatically, but I don't know which of these three is going to win the race. To me, it becomes a dart throw. I may not put as much money on a race like that. To me, it's not passing, it's conserving and just playing the race and just hoping I'm right.
Oh, are you exposed?
I'll contribute mine to that, which the advice I gave to my son when he asked me the same question. A long time ago, I said, now maybe you don't have your hair bristle on the back of your head. There's a medical term called clonic, which has nothing to do with the colon. But you get a clonic feeling in the back of your neck, which is kind of a, like a breeze is blowing and your hair is standing. And if I look at a race and I don't get that clonic feeling looking at it, I pass it. And I don't care if it's the prime race of the day or it's a six-horse field or a 14-horse field. I don't get a good feeling when I look at it, I pass it. I told my son to do the same thing. So he ends up with some strange races. But if they don't rule up at him and he doesn't see anything he likes, he passes. And that's what I do. And so far it's worked out pretty well. I never get more than 8 plays a day at one track. This is pretty good because thank you. This is kind of a relaxer. But apparently someone's taking it pretty seriously and wants to do some off-track betting here in Vegas, and they want to know what books you guys recommend that they work in. One that takes your bet.
Anyone with the doors open, I guess. You know, that's the same. It depends on, so I like to play over at the Rio. I enjoy the Rio. I've got some friends over there that are friends away from handicapping. So there's, you know, if they ask me what I like, I'll tell them because I'm not going to handicap anyway. I don't run into too many people that are saying what do you like, that kind of thing. So I like the Rio, all right, and I can't say I dislike the Excalibur. I've been over there a couple of days. I mean, it's a matter of style. You get in some. I know James Quinn loves the Mirage. I don't care that much for the Mirage. I really don't. I don't care too much for Caesar. I love to go see Caesar. It's like turf racing for me. I'm not a big fan of turf. I am a fan of turf racing, but I make probably fewer bets on the turf than anything else. But I love to watch it. I love to go see Caesars and go right somewhere else to bet, though. But it's a great, I enjoy the Hilton. It's just a matter of preference.
I like one that is well lighted and less crowded. It depends on my mood and my choice of books. Jimmy and I have to come up here and play multiple tracks, so we can't go just to the Paramutual one. So we went to the Sahara. And we bet $2 and $3 because we were betting. Jimmy was betting 25 races a day, and I was doing 15. And even then, they got a little annoyed at us winning just with $2 and $3 bets, $6 quinellas. But it all depends. If you're feeling low down, if you're feeling a little blue, if you're feeling not quite as self-confident as you should, go to the Sahara and win and get kicked out.
Yeah.
Believe me, it'll make you feel like $1 million.
Oh,
now, if you're feeling real self-confident, don't need that bolster. Go to one of these that has Paramutual, which is they're listed, and you can bet as much as you want. You bet $200 show bets, and they don't care. But if you're really feeling a little sketchy about yourself, a little bewildered as whether you're any good or not, go to the Sahara, one of these that cuts you off if you win $20 on a $5 bet. You'll get your confidence very fast. Tom McCrae, stand up. This is a specific question for Oklahoma. Please evaluate the importance of the impact of the new surface. Remington, whoever asked the question, get with Tom. He knows that surface like the back of his hand. Now, here's a question. There we have a question in the balcony, Mr. Anthony. This is asked by a very innocent, sweet person that has nothing up his sleeve, never met before. Does Burt Main have relaxation tapes in here for sale? Well, our last announcement was going to be to the effect that they are here for sale. They are specifically, there are silver relaxation tapes done by Burt with a silver concept in mind, but done specifically for handicappers to put you into an alpha meditative state so that you can best function in the manner in which we describe so often in the follow-up and in the psychology of winning. And they're only $15. If you still have that much left, they are for sale. And if you don't have that much left, send for them. If you send the checks to us, because you know our address, take them out to Burt Main. Don't make them out to us. Now here's a... This is kind of a final question. And this man wants to know, this is very serious too, and I think both of you qualify as being what he wants to be, and maybe this would be a good time to bring up all of our people. I know you want to thank them for their efforts. Bruce, Dick, Bert.
Somebody wake Bert up.
Come on up front. All of our teaching members. Tommy Renner, are you still here? Oh, I believe we'll see. Purdy and Robinson left, but this will give you a pretty good cross section. Because all of these guys, and Tom McCrae, and of course Marion Jones, Dick Schmidt, where's Dick? Oh, he's coming up this way. Okay. We'll pass the mic. I'll go last. As these guys speak, you might want to give them a little hand when they finish. If you appreciated what they gave to you here, if you don't, Google. The question is, and it's a good one, how can you tell what comes over you? What do you suddenly sense when you truly know that you are a professional? Let's start with Spencer. Tell us what he's going to see and feel in himself when he knows he's a professional.
When the anxieties disappear, when the little inner voices are saying that everything's okay now, I can go ahead.
Next case. Give it to Tommy.
I think it's a lot like Spencer. When you go to the window, you don't worry. You know you're going to win. If something happens, you don't win, you don't worry about it because you got a race coming up and you're going to hit it.
All right. Well, that's right. You got a point.
Well, when I'm first found out I was a professional, other people, they were telling me I was one. I wasn't sure about it. In fact, I hadn't given it any thought because it was the farthest thing from my mind as being a professional handicapper. But I do know this, that once you do become a professional and you have the feeling, when you go to the window and you'll always tell yourself how good you are. You know, you go and make a bet and you lose it, you says, I'm not worried about that because I know I'm good and I know I'll get the next one. And you just keep doing it. If you have a losing day, you don't feel any anxieties because you know there is tomorrow or the next day, and you just go back and do what you have to do. And that is being a professional to me.
Well, I'm not a professional handicapper. I do not derive the majority of my income from handicapping, but I do know you reach a point where you have an inner calmness within you that is just serene, smooth waters, and you just don't worry. And it's easy and cool, and you feel like you own the damn place. And that's probably what it's like when you get to be a professional.
The road
road to success is never ending. I learned a magic word, and I'll leave it with you. The word is can I, C-A-N-I. Constant and never ending improvement. And if you would take that magic word and apply it not only to your handicapping skills, not only to your money management skills, but to your entire life, and you constantly and never endingly improved on everything, can you imagine what you would be like next year?
Well, yeah, just reiterate the living by your wits, what it takes, and the kind of calm and assurance that you can do, as Marianne and others have talked about, to go up. The quintessential thing of plan your work, work your plan, and just keep going, getting better and better at it.
I just kind of reiterate what Marianne said. When a day or a succession of days doesn't rattle you to the extent that you're second-guessing yourself and you're not tinkering with your programs and blaming it on things like that, when you can accept that and know what's ahead of you, I think you've pretty much arrived. I still do get keyed up. I mean, depending on the price and the horse, I'll still feel the butterflies and I'll still get excited about it. If I lose the bet, though, it's gone pretty quick. I mean, it's not a question of agonizing over it afterwards, but I still get keyed up in races. And the day I don't, I'm not sure I want to play anymore. I mean, it's just, I think it's marvelous to have that kind of excitement. Some people never, ever get to live it. And in my own personal experience, when I paid off that business, and if you probably all read about it, 1983, I paid it off with racing, and I was terrified every bet I made during that period of time, so the pressure was really on. So for me, personally, when I was able to handle that kind of pressure and succeed, from then on, it's been that I knew I was all right. But that's about the time I stopped worrying right after that. Stopped worrying about a daily experience. Well, good luck to all of you.
When you can walk in and tell your boss, take this job and shove it. Maybe you have arrived.
Bert's boss, he said. How did he do it? Can't do that one.
Oh, well, that's a tough one to top, but I got it here. How do you know when you're ready to be a professional? You look up in the sky, and 100-foot letters of flame, you are a pro. That's a dumb question, guys. You're a professional when you make more money than you bet. That's as easy as it comes.
Apologize to whoever wrote the question.
Yes, it's a dumb question. I'm sorry. When you're making money, you're a professional. If you want to make more money, bet more. It's really that easy. But all you have to do is figure out, are you making money at the track? If the answer is yes, welcome to professional play.
I've told you before, I never want to be here.
They still plug. They still plug. We can't do the guy like that.
Before we reach the climax here, I've been asked to have Tom Note and Frank Ball please sign their contract. It's kind of an anticlimax. How do you know when you're a professional? Well, I once worked my way through graduate school and various other economic pitfalls by playing the piano and singing songs. People refer to me as a professional musician. Well, I've never been a musician. I got paid for it, so that made me a professional. But there were so many truly great musicians who were professional musicians that I figured I'm an amateur getting paid for it. And that's the way I feel about handicapping. I'm an amateur, but I'm getting paid because I win races and my bets pay off. But I kind of go back to what Tom said. I still have that wonderfully naive feeling that every time I have a winner, like it's just some magic gift from heaven, that it gives me that little thrill, and it tickles me pink. I never say I've got a lock in this race, or I'm going to clean up, or I'm king of the world. To me, it's a great thrill, and I suggest that everybody never lose that wonderful feeling you have of being an amateur, which is the difference between college ball players and the pros. They fight for their school. They fight for the spirit of something, whereas the pros fight for the money. So, yeah, be a professional and make money, but be an amateur and get that wonderful thrill. And the biggest thrill, if I am a professional at what I'm doing, the biggest thrill is when every one of you who call themselves either an expert or a professional
or every one of you can be autonomous and call yourself a winner. It is not whether or not you're an amateur or a professional that counts. It's whether in here, as Bert talked about it, in here, are you a winner? If you say yes, then I'm a pro. Thank you.
All right.
Bradshaw wants to know who this guy Autonomous is.